While you're following along with the law of attraction, with hacking your mind, and all of the other great episodes that we've had where guests have come on and talked about how they manage their goals, ethics, and dreams, well, now you can manage your own. We are giving away a free mind map and daily planner at our website, InnovarePodcast.com. Go ahead and check that out. Download your free mind map and daily planner while you listen to this episode to get some great ideas. What are you waiting for? Go there now. From the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories, it's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who were built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way. If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real. This is Innovare.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another episode of the Innovare Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Edwards, and welcome on in. This week, we got a great guest for you. He comes from the other side of the world. But before we get into that, guys, make sure you have liked and subscribed. Make sure that you are aware of when new episodes are released and dropped, and you're the first one to get a listen. Also, if you get anything from these podcasts, guys, I do these for free. I put out all this content for you guys. And if you are getting anything out of them, please share them with somebody else. And if you are here because somebody has shared this show with you, well, the law of reciprocity, please. And you go ahead and invite another two people, please. For every one person that listens, go ahead and invite two more. Now let's get into what this week's episode is all about. His name is Anthony Hammond, guys, and he's on the other side of the world. And I mean that quite literally. He lives in Australia. And so he built his business after he left his original career. So he essentially reinvented himself, which he'll get into his story here in a moment. And guys, this is something that I feel like a lot of people are afraid of. They're afraid to reinvent themselves. They're afraid to leave their comfort zones. They want to hang out where they know it's comfortable. They want to sit with the people that they know, and they're afraid of new experiences. But guys, that's all life really is experiences. So if you're missing out on new experiences, then you're missing out on life. So remember that. Get out of your comfort zone. Take a risk today. Go meet somebody. Ask somebody what their name is, even in this COVID world, right? Don't worry about that. You don't have to shake their hand or anything like that, but just go up to somebody and be like, hey, what's up, man? 6 feet away, if you're into that, and be like, yo, what's up? Hey, this is what I do. What are you guys doing? Cool. All right. Well, yeah, you have a good day. It's not weird. I promise you. People enjoy interaction. Don't be weird about it. Okay. Don't guys, don't go trying to hit on some girls or anything. That's not what I mean. What I mean is start a conversation, start an interaction, get out of your comfort zone, take a chance, take a risk, whether it's meeting somebody, exploring new career paths, moving. Anthony talks about how he moved out of his small town into a big city. You know, try something new, man. Try new food. Life is all about experiences, and we're going to get into that, taking risks and how Anthony built his seven-figure business by first taking a risk. Let's get started. Anthony Hammond is a dad, an entrepreneur, an investor, and a mentor. He is the founder and CEO of Red Fox Apps, an app development company that he built from scratch to seven figures in less than 12 months. He is the founder and CEO of the Do Work Foundation, a business coaching company that helps entrepreneurs identify, market, and build out multiple six-plus-figure businesses. Anthony is also the founder of the Swagga apparel brand, an Australian sports apparel brand. And he's here today on the Innovare podcast. Welcome on in, Anthony Hammond. My man, Anthony Hammond. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Roy. How are you, man? I appreciate being on.
Thanks for coming on. And we're going to, so for those of you watching, we just did a pre-show and I realized about 8 minutes into it that the mics were off. So we're good now. Promise. All the levers are, all the levels are great now. And Anthony, I appreciate you being patient with me, man. And thanks for coming on, buddy. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
For sure.
So first off, the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And we talk about time zones. We went over this a little bit in the pre-show, but I want to get into it a little bit again, is what it's like doing business on the other side of the world. I think time zones are one of the more fascinating things doing business here in America. I have my bubble. And yep. It is like everybody's on the same sleep cycle as me. Everybody is, you know, I wake up, I get off, and that's it. I work late, but I feel like in America, it's not the norm to be doing business in multiple time zones, unless it's like LA, yeah. Right? If you're in America and you do business in LA, and it's like, oh man, you're doing business in LA. But I live in the Eastern time zone, and so it's like the world revolves around me as far as I'm concerned, yeah. Right? So what's it like doing business in multiple time zones in Australia? Yeah. What's that like?
I think we adapt, because business, especially 10 years ago, business was much bigger in the US that I found. When you tried to break out into new entrepreneur ideas, or you dealt with new software, or you dealt with new things, it all come from the US. So we had to adapt to get onto that time frame. And quite often I find that, exactly like you said, in the US, they only basically understand the US. They only work with people in the US. It's a tier one country. You've got all the US dollars there, and that's where business is. I found my industry, in all businesses that I've ventured in, have always end up with clients from the US. So I just had to adapt and either work at night, late at night, or work early in the morning. And I was quite happy with that, because that's kind of my style anyway. I like to do that. But yeah, it's an adapting thing, and it's funny having those conversations with people to let them know whether it's nighttime here and daytime there. And for me, it's fairly normal to understand that. I've traveled the world a lot. I've gone backwards in time, essentially, and forward and all that. So yeah, it's not a big deal for us, but it always is something that the US love to talk about.
Yeah, so. That's right. It's tomorrow over there. It's still today here, but it's tomorrow there, right?
So much better day today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So we're going to get into your backstory now. So
yeah,
I start off every conversation like this, because I'm super, super innovative when it comes to my questions. But I do think that it's important that we understand somebody's backstory, where they come from, so that we can get into where they are now and what they're doing. So tell me a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, as we talked about earlier, the toilet flushing backwards was a good intro, and that threw me straight into my actual backstory. Was I was a plumber. I left school and I joined a trade, which my father was in, and done my apprenticeship as a plumber. I loved working outdoors. I loved working with people, and I didn't really have much more of a choice, because I had no idea what I wanted to do in life. And I think we sort of get like that our entire life. We're hoping that we'll get some direction and someone will guide us and tell us what we love to do. And you end up just falling in from one thing to another. So I become a plumber. I finished my trade, and I realized as I was getting to the end of the trade that this wasn't going to be the rest of my life. There had to be more. I was in the country, in the bush, and as much as I loved the values and the culture that I got brought up in, I knew I had to venture out and I had to move on. And simply leaving my town, my friends, my girlfriend, like everything I had, my house, I left it all and traveled to the city, which was, you know, 7 or 8 hour drive back then. So that in itself was a big move, and that was, you know, getting uncomfortable, and off I went. And when I got to the big smoke, I joined the police. So I spent the next 2 decades in law enforcement. Absolutely loved it. It was something that I was passionate about. I loved everything about what the police do, what they stood for. And just the masculinity behind, you know, the superhero type of thing to start with, that was what gets you in. And then when you start to see the results and the change you can make, it was a great job. So that was pretty much my career in a job was law enforcement.
Yeah. And so I come from a similar background. I was a federal employee. I worked for the federal government and so did my wife. And so we both left the federal government and a lot of people called us crazy. Right. It's like you have this job, you have the benefits, you have the leave, you know, just show up and you, you know, you're good. Right. I mean, and so what I know why I left, but I'm always interested in listening to people as to why they left the federal government or in your terms, law enforcement.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a secure job. There's a lot to be said in a secure job when you've got a family. I had a young son or I had a my son was born, and just the thought of being in a secure job does make you feel really good. You got benefits, you got leave, you got sick leave. If there's a downturn in the world financial situation, you still got a secure job. But there's still no fulfillment and joy behind that. I see this all the time, and I see it with the hundreds and thousands of people that I worked with that you're doing a job for all of the wrong reasons. Yes, you do need money. We do need financial security and we do need benefits and all of those things, but we get stuck in there and we get tied down with a home loan and a car loan. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and think, fuck, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Like there's no fulfillment or joy in my life anymore because I can now with certainty see the next 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. And uncertainty is as powerful as certainty on certain things. And that was something that I knew inside of me, I had to address it. But I think where I was back then was no different to everyone else. It was a conversation that dreamers would have. We would all talk about it and imagine if you did this, imagine if you were like this, or some of the people that we would come across inside that job, you would see a different life and a different world. Whether you take action and try to do that, you probably won't. Most people that are in that job, way too scared to leave something good to go after something great. I know that's where I was. I was still, I loved what I did. I was in investigations and we went into specialist areas and I really loved what I did and I was good at what I did until one day when things all went to shit. And, you know, you're going to come across certain times in your life where everything goes to shit. And when things go bad at work and then you get dealt with differently and all of a sudden you start to question everything and then your body reacts and you become emotionally involved with stuff and you start to understand trauma and anxiety and stress and all of these things that I just assumed I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that because of the way I lived my life, I dealt good with all that stuff and it was pure avoidance, I suppose. But eventually that stuff comes all upon on you and you're like, what am I going to do? Like I'm now in a position where I'm unhappy. I'm unfulfilled and nobody's coming to save me. The only advice I'm getting inside this job is stick with it. You'll get through it. Everyone goes through this stuff. And that was eating me alive. It was like, I just can't do this. And essentially everything burns down around you. So relationships, mine went to shit. Work that would just went to a place where I couldn't do it anymore. So I knew you get to that point where it's, what am I going to do? Am I going to stand up, man up and do something about this? Or am I going to give up? Am I going to get addicted to something to take my mind away from this shit and just become numb? And I decided I wasn't going to do that negative approach. I was going to do everything I could to find a way out, to find a new life. And it began with a Google search. I simply Googled, how do you make money online? Like I was that desperate. I didn't know anyone. I wasn't connected with anyone that I realized anyway at that time. And I just started to Google, there's got to be other ways. How do you start a business? What do you do? And I read all these things and, you know, this is 5 or 6 years ago now for me. And I happened to be, I was an investor. So one of the things that I was really good at was investing in property. And I had multiple investment properties that I'd put together over time. I was good with numbers and finance and money. So I'd put myself into a good long-term position, but it still wasn't a fulfilling life. I still wasn't happy in what I was doing. And just so happened that I went to a property developer event, a seminar for the day, and there was a guy that turned up that was helping people build websites. And he said, like, we're all here to get more properties, and eventually when you get to 6, 7, 8 properties, you need more cash for another deposit because we don't have enough equity in the old houses yet. So we need that cash flow influx. And he was essentially teaching us about internet marketing, online internet marketing, how to build websites, how to write ebooks, how to sell stuff online. And I just got involved from that angle because I thought there might be something in here. I did everything, failed at everything. When I say failed, I learned how to build websites through WordPress, and I built a dozen of them. I learned how to integrate payment systems. I learned how to do all the back end stuff, but I didn't really like it because it's hard and it's technical and it wasn't that fun. I'm creative to a certain degree, but my mind was thinking ahead already that I'll learn how to do this and then I'll outsource this process and then I'll build a company and then I'll try and market it. And anyway, eventually I went through writing an ebook, building a website, and it just happened to be that apps come up. And one of my Google searches was, how do you make money online? And it was app development. So all I knew about apps back 5 years ago was that I had a few on my phone. Didn't really use them. I wasn't a gamer. I didn't play games, but I thought, let's have a look at this. And that was really my transition into the entrepreneurial world because I just dug right in. I learned everything I could. I tried to make an app and realized I'm not technical enough. I don't have the skills. That's a programmer's game. I found myself in a place where I could buy an app. And I thought, well, that's good enough for me. I'll buy an app. So I bought the background or the source code for an app and then put it together and then started to make some money off it. And it was small money, but it straight away made me realize the potential of what could be done. Like I made that app, that particular app, which changed everything for me. And I love talking about it because it made me $2 overnight. I launched it. I marketed it. I woke up the next day and in my account's like $2. And that meant everything to me. I'd put in, a month's worth of work beforehand trying to understand all this. But straight away I went, that there, now I can see there's this vision. I can blow this up. I can scale this. I can repeat it. And I did. And I essentially just did the same thing and then closed in on different niches and started to – my Google searches become better. Instead of what's the best way to make money, it was what are the best apps to make money? What niches in apps make the best money? What areas, what colors, what everything about that? So then I just started to use everything on Google to a point where I hired a coach. And I just went, okay, I'm ready to hire someone. And I hired someone and he helped me market because that's obviously the key. And it just started to grow. And the funny thing about business is if you get really passionate and you dive in and you just work on one business and try to master one thing, opportunities come left, right, and center. And you have to start to become good at taking on opportunities and cutting off others. And I found within a few months, I had a really good income, a passive income essentially from apps through marketing. And from out of nowhere, I got phone calls from investors that wanted in. They wanted to buy what I had. They sent me to marketplaces where what I had didn't exist. So then I found a marketplace which would be not unlike Facebook. It would be like finding Facebook for the first time and coming in there and saying, I've got a product that actually makes money. And there were investors on this platform and they started to make offers for my apps. And I thought, hey, this is another opportunity here. I don't want to give away the goose that's laying the golden egg, but I can repeat these. I can make more. So I thought it won't hurt me to sell one or sell two. And immediately I realized their potential value. And that just become another business in itself, selling digital assets, selling investments, selling basically digital real estate. Wow. So that blew up. And now I've got a company where I make apps and they're making money. I'm now selling some of those that are already producing income. Then come the next opportunity from all the investors that bought my apps. They now wanted to know, how did I maintain that that marketing? How did I maintain the cash flow? Because it was quite simple, but there was a bit of methodology behind exactly what I did. So I realized to make my assets worth more money and to become really the authority in an industry where I had no idea about apps, I couldn't develop them or program them, that I would now sell not just my asset, but I would sell a coaching program with it to teach people how to maintain this yourself and how to keep the cash flow going. So that then blew up into a much bigger income capacity. So within 6 months, I'd hit 50K per month. And interestingly, in that arena, I look back now because when I first told a few people and I moved into a few masterminds and I met a few entrepreneurs because that got me traveling the world, talking on stage at events, I started to hear other people talk about making 50K a month or 100K a month. And I'm like, okay, so I've done that now. That's cool. I got up to where I wanted to get. But I later learned that most of those people, that wasn't profit, that was turnover. And they may have made $5,000 profit. So yeah. I didn't realize until, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years down the track that 50K of mine, it was 95, 97% profit. I didn't know any different. I had a coach that said to me, what do you want to do? Why don't you turn this into 50K a month? This is what you need to do. And so I went, yeah, let's do that. But I even blew him away because he didn't understand that there was no marketing or advertising or team. I had a team, but it was not to that capacity where it was taking most of my money. So, I mean, that built itself. I built the structure, the systems. I had to put all this stuff together on the run. There was no plan laid out for me, so I knew exactly what to do. It was just deal with clients, make clients happy, give them everything they want, see the new opportunities come in, assess them. Can I make something out of this? Can I outsource that? Which I did. More opportunities come in that I outsourced to my friends to give them jobs. And the business just started to blow up. And it was amazing, but there was lots of things I learned. You know, I should have built that business into a brand that I could sell. Mm. I should have thought much bigger. One of the problems I did was I told myself I wanted to hit 50K a month. And when I hit 50K a month, I'd hit a ceiling because now I wasn't overworking myself, but in order to turn that into 200K a month, I had to rip it all down. I had to completely shut down and start again. So there's lots to be learned. Lessons in 12 months, by the time I'd built this into a seven-figure company, I realized if I had have started this all over again, there's certain things I would have done and I would not have done. And the beauty of that was I never had a five-year plan for that business. I never looked ahead long enough to even know if people are going to be using apps in 5 years.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't do, I didn't realize that I was at the mercy of the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. Like they can just shut me down, and they did. On certain times they'd come out and they'd shut down particular source codes. So I learned, you know, if you're going to build a business, make sure you build it around something that you control, not someone else who controls you, because then they've got, it's like an Amazon company. If you only sell e-commerce on Amazon, they're in control of you. Right. So like I did learn a lot from just that initial 12 months. But that was definitely the basis for the rest of my future with businesses. I had a model, I had a system. It also, it turned into a lot of inquiries where people would come to me and just say, can you help me? And At that time I was totally invested in apps. So I was like, I can help you build an app business. But some people would say, well, I don't want to do that. I've got a business idea and I want to do what you did. And I didn't have that capacity or the time to do that. So I'd systemized my business on how I trained people and coached people in the app business. And I hadn't really considered anything else. So I think over time, the more I dived into self-development, worked on myself, found what I enjoyed doing, my passion, and started to redirect just slightly my plan for the future and my business and my wealth creation, I started to understand that I need to create something different. And most of the coaches that I were hiring were saying to me, dude, you got to be a coach. You have to go out and coach other people who are in six-figure jobs that are so down and broken and they want to change their life, because that's a story that it's not out there. There's a lot of stories of people that grew up with nothing or had nothing or went through major traumas in their life. And I felt like, oh, I don't really have a story. I had this six-figure job. It was pretty good. And I went through some shit at work and it basically threw me off the rails. And I just went and worked out a way to move forward. And I suppose I never really understood how big that is. Now I understand because I talk to people stuck every day. And it's totally a mindset that they're not willing to take that uncertain risk to jump out of something that's safe and secure. And I get it. I understand that it's, but it's, you know, it's like you got one life.
So let's unpack that a little bit. Let's unpack that. Because that's really when I mean, you touched on so much there that I want to unpackage. But the number one thing I think that of your entire story is mindset.
100%.
You went from, I don't want to say cushy job because I don't mean to be insensitive or insulting or anything, but you went from a very secure job to a complete jump, no parachute.
Yeah.
You're just, you say, you know what? I'm going to do something that I know nothing about and I'm going to figure it out. And so that adversity and that taking that unfamiliar risk, what type of mental what type of mental preparation, you know, what goes into that? What helps you make that jump from something that you know is secure? Now, I know you said the unfulfillment had a lot to do with that. Yeah. And believe me, my story of the government is very similar to that. But I would love to get your take on the mental aspect, mental preparation that went into taking that ultimate jump.
It's purely there's more. I did that when I left. I think back about the jumps that I've had to make. And one of the biggest ones was leaving a small town when I was young.
Yeah.
And I just did that. It was, if you put too much thought into it, you'll never do it. You overcomplicate it. You'll find every excuse in the book not to do it. So quite often when you really know you want to do something by asking yourself that question, you just have to do it. I don't know. To be honest, there wasn't a person on the planet that was agreeing with what I was doing.
Right.
Like I have to do this. I have to go. It's like, this is a calling. There's something in my life that it's like a magnet saying to me, there's more for your life. Go and work it out. There is no roadmap. And when there is a roadmap, that security or even that, you know, that process, if it's there, you sometimes get lazy because you look at it and you go, well, I know what I've got to do. It's like going to the gym or eating right. I can see the nutritional plan. I can see the workout plan. I know what I've got to do. So I'll start next week. When you've got no idea, when you go, I'm just going to walk into the gym. I'm just going to pick up stuff. I'm just going to ask people, like it's the enthusiasm. It's the energy. It's like I've seen other people win. I've spoken to other people and it's, I knew that there was more for me. I wasn't anywhere near the smartest person. I knew so many smart people and I had to just let that go and realize that I've achieved everything on this planet that I've wanted to do. When I set my mind to it, when I was young, I wanted to be a black belt. I went out, went through all these different martial arts and boxing and kickboxing studios, and I got it. Like it took me 4 or 5 years training 5 nights a week. But once you hit that achievement, it was just another tick in the self-confidence area that I can do anything I want to do. If I want to become a multi-millionaire, a billionaire, build big businesses, then I'll do it. Like there is no secrets. It's like you just have to go out and entirely mindset is everything, without a doubt.
I love that you just said there's no secrets because that's my next thing that I want to touch on. I did want to revisit one thing before my next point, though, is it's something that you kind of grazed over a little bit that I feel exactly the same way. Two things, really. First, you said you woke up and you saw $2 in your account, which that first dollar that comes in, there's no greater feeling of justification to say I'm on to something.
Yes.
There's nothing better than that. And I just wanted to take a second to talk about that. And then the second thing you said was the six figures. So I left a six figure job too. And people thought I was crazy. Oh, how could you do this? You know, you have this, you have that, whatever. Right. Mm. And I always tell people the lessons that I learned, the preparation that I made in order to get to six figures the first time, I'll be able to do it quicker, better, faster the second time. Yeah. And that's a hard thing to explain to somebody without feeling like an asshole. I'm glad that I earned six figures, but watch me go do it the next time for myself, you know, watch this kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, going back to your first point, the $2, the reason the $2 thing was so important was because I did know numbers. I did understand compounding numbers, duplicating, you know, you've only got to double $1 21 times or something and it becomes $1 million. So it was like, if I can do this, duplicate it by tomorrow and then duplicate that again and then build systems and outsource, like to me, all of a sudden, I just had that plan in my head that this is now a viable option. There's no ceiling here. This can just blow up. But a lot of other people don't see that because they are stuck on what's $2 going to do for you. So I agree that that blew me away. And there was a time over that next, say, 12 months where I remember hitting 60K in a day. It was a particular day where I got paid out from an advertising company. So it was the month's worth of pay, but it had come in on a day. I'd signed up one or two new clients and something else had come in. And I remember just sitting there that day going, 60K in a day, like that, great marketing. Like I make 60K in a day. It's not, it could be bullshitted around, you know, it still took me a long time to get to that day. But then I remember hitting 100K in a day and I remember hitting more than 100K in a day. None of that affected me like the $2. In fact, the higher days that I got, it was more like, okay, I need to check this. I need to make sure that I've done all the work. I've checked things off. I haven't missed something. That was much more important to me, where that $2 was super excitement.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk about that $2 to anyone than 100K on a day because it's irrelevant after that.
I always tell people, so when I first left, the first day that I left was one of the most exciting days of my life. The walking in and you're like, this is it. I'm an entrepreneur. What do I do? It's Monday. What am I supposed to do? You know, that is super exciting. But when I first started out, I started paying myself, I think it was $13 an hour, whatever, like it was like minimum wage. Right. Yeah. And that first paycheck that I got of whatever it was, I don't even remember what it was after taxes, but that paycheck was one of the best feelings that I've ever given myself. Which is that's that $2. And I will tell that story 100 times over.
Yes, it is. That's an amazing, it's an accomplishment because we've done something different that someone else hasn't done for us.
Right.
Totally agree. Yeah.
And so I want to get into this next point now. And you have an interesting take on this. So I've interviewed a bunch of people about this exact topic and talking about happiness.
Yeah.
And how do you find a balance in life?
Yeah.
And so I've seen a few of your videos and I believe I know your take on this and it's a very interesting one. But when you talk about finding happiness and life balance, how do you do that?
Look, I hear balance. I heard balance a lot. I tried to work out what balance meant. And in the end, I realized balance is bullshit. The way people talk about balance and say you need to balance your home life and your work life and all of these things, I struggled with that because that means I've got to give 25% of my energy to here and 25 there. And when you're trying to fit inside this mold that doesn't suit you and your personality, it just gets thrown out the window. And people will always say, I just need to find more balance in my life. And I like to say, no, balance is bullshit. When I started in business, I was 100% obsessed with my business. There was no balance. Like I was 95% business and it burnt down relationships. It wasn't good on my health. I get that. So I understand why someone that has worked all this shit out has said you need to find more balance. But if I hadn't have put the head down and put 90% of my energy into the business, I never would have built the life that I needed. So maybe if you look at balance over a longer period of time and say, I'm going to put a shit ton of effort and work and time into a business now or a relationship or my body, because I need to get this built up. So I get obsessed with things and I think you have to get obsessed. So I don't necessarily believe in a typical balance, but I do have balance. It's just not, it's not 25, 25, 25. There was a period of my life where 90% was health because I really wanted to get my body in shape. So that took over a lot of the business and I wanted that. So I think that's where you find happiness when you find, you dive into yourself, it's all about self-development and you start to ask yourself, what do I want? Like, I don't care what anyone else wants me to look like or be like or have the money. Like, I don't give a shit how they see me. What do I want for me? Like, if I'm going to build a body, it's got to be for me. It's not about to impress anyone else. Same as a business. Like, I'm mission driven, and I love building businesses, and I love helping other people build businesses. That's not about ego or trying to impress anyone else. I don't give a shit if anybody learns about what I'm doing, as long as I can wake up and get super excited about how are we going to change this business? How are we going to adapt? How are we going to grow? Like, that passion to me, that's my happiness. As far as joy, so I always have found joy's something you should look for. Happiness is just an emotion. We've got to be happy. We've got to be sad. We've got to be angry. We've got to learn to become emotionally intelligent and deal with all of those emotions in entrepreneurship, anxiety, stress, all of it, because it's all coming. Mm-hmm. Whenever you change anything, when you're reborn, whenever you grow, you're growing into a new person and you're ripping out old traumas and you're trying to work all this shit out. So any entrepreneur has to learn to breathe. They have to learn to meditate. They have to learn to deal with anxiety and stress and emotions. And I think happiness is something that I don't chase happiness. I chase joy, because joy is in the moment. Joy is like now. I'm joyful now because I'm talking to you about what I love to talk about. I'm happy that this afternoon my son will come home and we're going to go out and we're going to do some cool stuff. That's great. But happiness is always in the future. You think about, you know, I want to be happy down the track. That there's no point in wanting something down the track. It's got to be about now. What do you love doing now? That's what when I work with clients, I really want to know, what are they happy about right now talking about and discussing? Because that's all we've got to worry about. And to me, joy is important. Happiness is just something that's going to come and go. And it's, you know, joy is what you really got to search for.
I love that, man. And yeah. I love that you went into the emotions there. As guys growing up, right, I assume it's the same in Australia, it is in the States at least, you're taught to kind of ignore your emotions, right? Yeah. You know, rub some dirt on it or whatever, yeah. Right? It's put that aside, you know, emotions, ignore your emotions. They don't mean shit. But to an extent, I love that you touched on that, is that happiness is just an emotion. So oftentimes we get into it and we get so suckered into these emotions, and happiness is just an emotion, the same as sadness or insert emotion here, right? It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be, you know, it's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to have these things because they're just emotions. They don't define who you are or anything like that. And you need those you know, if our ancestors relied on those for certain things, for hunting and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Just because we don't have to do it now doesn't mean that they're any less important than they were then. So I love that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I love to do, and it's a technique that I learned, was question everything. So I question why I am the way I am. I question why I want to change my body. I question why I want to make money. I question why I want to be joyful. Yeah. Like, I question everything, and that comes back down to, why am I feeling sad? Like, and it is just therapy. You start to work this stuff out, that you've just got to understand and become not just aware, but question it. What's going on? Why am I like this? Because then all of a sudden it's okay. It's okay to go, oh, you know what? I'm just feeling dread, or I'm feeling depressed or down. Nothing wrong with that. But what I've got to do right now is go and take some time for myself and just let this come up. That's super important as an entrepreneur. If you avoid it, if you distract yourself, if you go out and find some other way to not deal with those things, you're just building them up, and they're just going to come out and throw you off track one day. And that, again, it's mindset. It's all about becoming self-aware, dealing with stuff, being vulnerable, being happy with having other men around that you can talk about emotions and saying, hey, man, I don't feel real good today. I've got a bit of anxiety coming up. And someone that you trust that goes, oh, man, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, have you thought about what's going on or what brought it up? Like that, I love those conversations because it's like, you know what? I tried to think about it and I think it might be this. Like that's life now for me. But it's not. The other life you grow up is, you know, we used to say, oh God, like you said, there's all these sayings, but toughen up, don't worry about it, have a scoop of cement and get through it. And I love being able to have these conversations now with my son, and teaching him about emotional intelligence and vulnerability, and it's okay to go through all of this stuff. Like, it's, you got to stop it somewhere in this in this world, don't you? So having my son's probably one of the best sort of reflective coaching techniques that I've got, because I can throw stuff onto him and I can hear about what he's learning at school. And it's, it's great.
Yeah. Having kids has definitely changed my mentality and my view on life. I mean, it was overnight, you know, while my wife was pregnant with our first, kid, it didn't hit me. Like her life was already altered, but we don't have that same, you know, we don't really change, at least for me, it didn't really change for me until I stared at the child and watched them breathe, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're man, something's got to change. I got to change the way that I am acting. I got to change. I'm going to have to teach this small being how to like do things. And that I think talking about adversity. So I have a 10-year-old. And that's one of the hardest things, because now he's starting to get to the age now where things go wrong.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose. Not everything is winning. You know, it's that's part of it. Yeah. There's life's not participation trophies. Right. So how do you deal with adversity? How do you teach about it? And then how do you deal with it? And then how do you use that to find your purpose? Because this magical thing that we're supposed to all have our treasure maps and go find. How do you find this purpose that everyone goes and talks about?
Exactly. I mean, back on the teaching your kids. So my son played a final in soccer on the weekend that just went past, and he didn't show up like he can show up. He didn't play to his best ability, and they knew they were going to lose. Like you could see it in their mindset before they went on the second half, because they were down. But I'm on the sideline just thinking, you know, you've given up. And when he knew they lost the game, and when he finished, he walked straight over to me and he just stood in front of me. And I wasn't going to make him feel good. He lost, and I wanted him to feel that lost and that loss. And I just said, "What happened?" And he said, "What do you mean, what happened?" And I went, "Well, you didn't give it your best. You didn't play the best." "Yeah, I did." And I went, "Well, you didn't. You didn't communicate. You didn't talk. You didn't help. You weren't doing what you really do, and you didn't have the energy." And he was depressed and he was down, and he's like, "Oh." And I said, "Man, you lost. You got to deal with this." And then we had a bit of a chat 5 minutes later where he wanted me to make him feel better again. He come back to me to think, you know, "Can you at least make me feel better?" And I said, "You got to just sit through this. You got to realize what you're going through right now will give you the energy and the hunger to never do what you just did again. When you walk off that field and you lost, you should have been absolutely depleted. You should have had no energy left. You should have just feel like I've given it my best, and it's okay to lose when you've given it your best. But if you can walk off the field with all your energy looking for someone to say, 'Hey, you did a good job,' I went, 'You're not going to get that here.'" And I waited a day or two to talk to him about it, and he went, "Yeah, I didn't feel good. I felt bad all day and the next day, and I didn't like it, but there's no way I'm going to do that again." And I'm like, "That's good. That's why you've got to go through that little things like that, that little bit of adversity." Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just make them feel good all the time. They lost, and I wanted him to feel what it's like to lose, because losing sucks. As far as my own adversity, shit, adversity is going to come all the time. Adversity comes every day for me. There's certain things that I try to do in business. There's certain things that I try to do. And I've had to realize that perfectionism is one of those things where if I keep looking at trying to do everything perfect, I'm never going to get anywhere. If I keep worrying about doing something that's not great, I'm never going to get anywhere. So it's like just starting. I don't know. What sort of adversities would you talk about? Like what's something you've been through?
Oh man,
that's changed you.
I think the one thing that I always talk about, and my listeners are going to get sick of me talking about it, but that's okay. It's who I am. So I have Crohn's disease. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at age 12. And so that adversity of attacking something at such a young age when other 12-year-olds, right? So other 12-year-olds are worried about, like, I don't know, stuffed animals and food and running around the neighborhood and whatever. And I'm sitting in doctor's office getting blood drawn once a month, talking to doctors, and they're telling me that there's no cure. And I don't know what that means as a 12-year-old. And so that developed a mindset in me that, you know, I have to live in the now. I have day by day tattooed on my back, right? Similar to what you were talking about with joy. You find joy in the moment.
Yeah.
you know, that carpe diem mindset. I've been living that since I was 12 years old. And that's not just something that I just say, right?
Yeah.
That's how I've lived since I've had memory. That is how I've lived my life. And I've had to, because I know what it's like to sit into a doctor's office and have him say some scary shit to you, you know? Yeah. And so that type of adversity and that type of mindset, which I love that you went straight to losing to talk about adversity, because I think there are two different types of people. You've probably heard this before. And I totally subscribe to the thought process that there are two different types of people. There are people who love to win, and there are people who hate to lose, and you're either one or the other. And I am very much one or the other, but I think I know what you are, but I would love to hear, are you a love to win or are you a hate to lose?
No, I hate to lose.
Yes.
I hate to lose. Yeah.
And I'm the same way. So if you win, when you win, the moment is fleeting.
Yeah.
To me, you win. Oh, this is great. Okay, cool. You know, held the trophy up a little bit, hand it on to the next guy. Cool.
Yeah.
Celebrate for a second, whatever. Whereas when you're losing, that sticks with you. Yeah. Exactly what you just said about your son. Your son has lost, had to think about it, had to sit in it, and he couldn't do anything about it until the next time he steps on the field. Nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Whereas when you win, that's it. Your moment is there and gone in a second. Yeah.
I agree. And I think when you lose, like losing is something that's a big thing, because you're going to lose and lose and lose and lose and lose until you win. So most of your effort, most of your time building a business, building a relationship, building your body, you're losing all the time, but you're hungry because you've got goals that you want to get to win. But the passion and the drive comes from the fact that you're not going to lose. Mm-hmm. And I always find that when I win something or I achieve something, I'm ready to then start losing again to win again. So it continually makes you level up to the next thing. Whereas if you just win something, you've achieved it, it's like it's over. Like you said, I just love to win. I've won it. Now I'm going to be lazy. Whereas from the other angle, you're always the underdog. I hate to lose. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to keep going until I win. But every time you win, it's not enough. So you got to keep going, and you got to keep going further on.
I love it, man. I losing is a great teacher.
Yeah, 100%. It is.
I had a guest on, and I won't say who she is because I don't want to throw her under the bus. But I had a guest on this show, and I had asked her a question about what her greatest failure is that she points to it as a learned lesson. Like, what was the greatest failure at the time that you might look at now and say, you know what, that's one of the greatest teachers that I've ever had. And she said, well, I would argue that, you know, failure isn't the best teacher, and that training and development of your mind is the greatest teacher. And I was kind of like, okay. You know, I didn't have much of a rebuttal. I wasn't going to push it or anything like that, but I've done both. So what I do for a living is I train people. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And so it is impossible to train a room full of people who have not sucked at that thing.
Yeah.
If I go up there and I stand up there and I say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and this is how we're going to work, and this is how we're going to communicate, and they all say, oh, I'm so great at communicating, then, you know, and I'm just soaking in all this information, and then now I'm going to go do what it is. It doesn't work like that. They are in that room because they suck at communicating, or they suck at something, or they've failed and have now known they need to get better. If you try to teach a bunch of people who have never failed or never lost, it's going to go right over their head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. No, I agree. Failure. To teach anyone anything, you have to just go and have a go. And you know, whether the word failure or whatever it is, the fact that you couldn't work it out is a lesson.
Right.
Because it's like data. It's like, try something. What's the result? Here's the result. Okay, look at the data. Now try it again. Now try it again. Now keep doing what you're doing until it works.
Yeah.
People are so afraid to fail at something, and it's totally all in their head. Yeah. It's crazy.
To admit that they failed.
100%. If you can fail over and over and over and over and over again and not be worried about it, you've got the momentum that it takes. That's a key.
Yeah. And so now I'm getting into my last point that I have here that I wanted to touch on with you. And so that gets around that failure topic, the topic of failure. And exactly what you just said is that, you know, you have to be able to move through it. You have to be able to mindset of attacking these things. And some of the things you mentioned earlier, you're talking about, you have your community, you have your guys, and you say, man, I feel like shit today. I feel like this, or I haven't won today. And so how important is community and entrepreneurship and personal growth to you? And being from a small town, I'd imagine there are not many entrepreneurs in where you grew up or in Australia, but what's it like and how do you find community when you're going through those times of adversity?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's any different than anywhere in the world. You could be in New York City, and when you become an entrepreneur, you're going to be as lonely as hell.
Yeah.
Like any leadership area, straight away you're lonely because you've got to let go of a lot of the community that you're used to being in to level up. You've got to get away from the mindsets, the holdbacks, the setbacks. Everything that's held you back is everything around you. So quite often it's hard to build a community because I've went through so many different levels of community. I might go into a mastermind and I'll meet a dozen people that are down at a level that I want to move up to. And once I get to that level, I want to move into the next level and the next level. And if people aren't continually moving up with you, then you start to leave a lot of people behind. I've seen that and felt it. And it's hard because you've got to deal with those emotions of, I met someone, I really liked them, and I can see they're not going to move up with me, so I've got to let them go. I've found that there are particular people that move with me, and it's almost like you can look around and see you, that they're moving up with you. So community is totally everything. You've got to have people that get you, that understand you, that you trust, that you can talk to. And essentially that's why I went and built the Do Work Foundation, because I wanted to build a community of like-minded people that liked me. So I'm the leader of this group. And if you like me and you like talking to me and you like listening to me, then here's my group, because that's my people there. I'm not going to necessarily find that group in someone else's group. I may find a few people in different groups where I go to, different masterminds, different events, might find one or two people. And that's great, because that's building up different networks as well. But the concept behind building the Do Work Foundation for me was to bring like-minded people into an area where we can all support each other, we can all help each other at various levels, and we can build on this community, which would be like a small town. But now I'm in a different place, so I need people that are in a different place with me so that we can all get on. Communities, it's everything. It really is. Yeah.
And so how can somebody join the Do Work Foundation community?
Do Work Foundation's on Facebook. So if you find me on Facebook, you'll find the Do Work Foundation and you can join. You can jump in with other like-minded people. Like we've got people in there that are brainstorming business ideas as we speak, and we've got people that are running massive companies. So it's every level, and it's all about networking with the right people, getting help, helping others, and just being in a place where it's safe to talk about what really goes on when you're trying to build the life that you want.
And so if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, is that the best way to do so, or how do you want people to reach out?
Yeah, if people are looking for me, like Facebook or Instagram, Anthony Hammond, I'm simply my brand, and that's the best place to contact me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on and dropping some knowledge on mindset, man. I really appreciate it.
No, absolutely, brother. I appreciate you doing what you do, and I'm glad we can connect.
Yeah, man. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Innovare Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at InnovarePodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind-the-scenes look at all Innovare Podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Innovare Mindset. That's Innovare Mindset, to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys. See ya.